very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey, everybody. Tim Kawakami here, 49ers Plus Minus, with my co-host, Matt Barros. We are recording this Sunday night, several hours after the 49ers, as we see in the headline, bounce back victory of the Patriots at Levi's. 30-13, pretty, you know, grinded out, not very, you know, spectacular game, but they had to do it. Overmatched opponent. The Patriots are not very good. But Barros, what's your headlines coming out of this one?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we first have to acknowledge that the Patriots were a very forgiving opponent. And George Kittle made reference to that. He was saying that the offense needs to be sharper, especially when they're playing high-powered offenses. And he started to note that the Patriots weren't. And then he quickly kind of changed his tone. He said, well, it was only because the 49ers defense played so well. But, I mean, that's what all of us saw. This was a really, really bad Patriots offense, just devoid of talent. Starting to really understand why Brandon Ayuk declined to go there, despite what was it, $34 million he was being offered.
Theoretically, you know, who knows how they were.
Yeah, who knows what the numbers were, but yeah, and you start to see why they're not putting Drake May in either, because Jacoby Brissett just got hammered back there, six sacks, and probably should have been more than that. There were a couple of instances where guys sort of flung off of him. He's such a strong quarterback, but just not a good game from that from the Patriots. It seems like it's going to be an awfully long year in New England.
Well, that's it for Patriots plus minus. Now let's talk about the 49ers, Barros. You're just, all you're doing is talking about the opponent, railing on the opponent.
You got to acknowledge badness when you see it.
That's bad. Patriots are bad. They do have a win. I don't know how they beat the Bengals. Maybe the Bengals are in some trouble themselves. They are extremely limited offense, but they got some players on defense. Like Christian Gonzalez is a real cornerback.
Yep.
Jabari Peppers is a big time playmaking safety. They have some defensive linemen. Like, this is not without, they're not without talent on defense. Not a great team defensively, but not bad. I thought the 49ers offense moved the ball, obviously, over 400 yards again. What I wrote about was Brock Purdy throwing a ball deep and run, and he just looked lively running around there. He just looked like he, I mean, I don't think it's the biggest pass rush in the world, so he could kind of like pick his spots, and then, you know, and there wasn't somebody there waiting for him. I just thought he looked fantastic. He didn't need a fantastic game out of the quarterback. He just needed a good one. I thought he played fantastic, and throwing the ball deep was remarkable. I think five pass plays of 32 yards or longer, and not just dump offs and let the guy run. It was throwing it deep, pressuring, going over the top. And I do think this is going to be like their reaction to what they've seen specifically from the Vikings. We've seen it from the Ravens last year. You know, the crowding of the middle, right? That you've talked about, that the timing passes. They know when Purdy is going to throw it on a certain beat, it's going to go to this spot because that's what they do. It's the rhythm of the 49ers offense. Well, how do you break that up? You go over the top to the outside. And we knew Jimmy Garoppolo never really threw to the outside the numbers. Purdy has done it at times. This one, they really determined. Well, they had the over routes, you know, the crossing over the middle and getting to the other side, and they had the outside routes. And I thought Purdy threw the ball fantastic. I think he threw the ball fantastic last week, too, in the loss. I just thought he was really determined to get the ball deep. And you know what? Juwan Jennings, we were talking about how they had to re-sign Brandon Ayuk all summer because he's the guy who's going to be there for Brock Purdy. I'm going to put Juwan Jennings in there now. Like, Jennings is a guy. Like, he is obviously their best receiver right now just from the yardage stats. Playing fantastic, winning those 50-50 balls. They look like they've got some they got three receivers now. And Ayuk has been the least productive of them. What do you think about my premise that this is their answer? This is their counter-programming to defenses that are crowding the line of scrimmage to stop the run, and really, really playing those safeties tight to get in, you know, to mess up the rhythm, to mess up the timing patterns that the 49ers do so well.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, that's what Purdy talked about after the game, is that the Patriots safeties did a good job of anticipating the 49ers routes. And I think it's those crossers that you're describing. And that's their bread and butter play. I mean, that's what was so clicking last year between him and Brandon Ayuk. And I wonder whether that explains Brandon Ayuk's very modest start to the season. When you're talking about taking away those mid to, you know, deep crossers, you're talking about taking away Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk definitely had one deep ball today, one of those 32 plusers that you're talking about. But the other ones went to Deebo Samuel and to Juwan Jennings. So you're right. I mean, it's about adaptation in this league, being able to zig when your opponent zags, and Purdy did that today. So I think that's a positive. The question is, you know, they're paying Ayuk $30 million. Yeah. So, can he evolve? Can the Purdy to Ayuk game evolve along with the rest of it? Or is he just really an expensive decoy at this point? But no, I totally agree with you. I was reminded of Fran Tarkenton. I mean, that's who Purdy reminded me of today, just being able to escape out of trouble and then hit the deep ball. And that's what he was doing all day. A lot of sort of across the body throws. One of them got called back because of a penalty. I guess that was in the second quarter. I think you described it perfectly. A very lively game from Brock Purdy.
Yeah, and he hasn't had a bad season up to this. I maybe not a great game. Well, you know, Vikings game was not a great game, but good stats against the Rams, over 300 yards. Good stats this game. He dropped under the 100, you know, quarterback rating because of the interception at the end. That was interestingly thrown to Ayuk. And interestingly, you know, I don't know if they want to make this direct comparison. He throws the ball to the same spot in the end zone with Kittle basically double covered, and Kittle goes up and he gets a touchdown. Throws it to Ayuk. I think Ayuk might have been more open, but either stumbled or something happened there that the ball goes to the defensive back, who, I mean, they're talking about coverage is weird, and he's reading the cornerback not to be there, or Peppers, I guess it was, and things got messed up. But I don't know that Ayuk, you know, and Purdy are syncopated. It sounds and it looks pretty clearly they're not. This is now 4 weeks into the season. They're 2-2. Not a disaster, not great, but you're right. There is something there where Ayuk is not the guy who's really connected to Purdy. It's Juwan Jennings, or it's Kittle, or it's Deebo. They're going to get, theoretically, get McCaffrey back. Like, Ayuk becomes shuffled way down and way down. You know, maybe if defenses have to play him differently than Ayuk, that slant to Ayuk becomes a bigger deal, but it's not there right now. And something to think about. And, you know, Jordan Mason was solid again, by the way. He was very, very solid. Man, if they didn't have him, Barros, whew. I mean, I said that, like, who's their backup running back? I said that to you today. Like, if he gets dinged up, who comes in?
Well, it was Deebo. I mean, it's clear that they prefer Deebo Samuel back there to Isaac Grendel. Grendel got another. It was another one carry, 0 yard day for Isaac Grendel. And that was offense.
Special teams.
We're not even bringing up what he did on special teams, basically allowing the Patriots back into the game. But yeah, I mean, that's it. It's Deebo Samuel right now. And the 49ers have been here before. What was it? 24 carries for Jordan Mason. That's not the 28 he had in week one, but that's still a huge amount. And he's able to handle it. He's quite durable. He's big. He's physical. But, you know, all it takes is one ankle sprain, and then this team is really in a world of hurt at that position. I don't know what they would do. I think it's would depend on the McCaffrey timing and the severity of a Jordan Mason injury. But if both are not looking good, you really have to think about bringing somebody in from the outside.
I can't believe they haven't done
back somebody, Jerick McKinnon, Matt Breida. I mean, no great solutions to that unless you got Raheem Mostert which would be a, you know, just a really lucky serendipitous type of thing. But yeah, I mean, I didn't see it. Did you see a report today from Ian Rappaport that CMC's timing is early November?
Yeah, I heard some pushback on that. You know, again, I don't know that it was more like speculation than reported fact. Who knows? I mean, I don't think that's wrong, but I don't know that it's 100% true. I think it's more like likely to be something like that. If you just take the whole, you know, the whole blood spinning thing, you know, that you've reported about, if this was his first visit to Germany, like it could have been a second one, but it probably was his first one. It's going to take a month before they get that blood in him.
Right.
Now, I do think it's possible that was not, you know, maybe he's taking a trip to Germany to get this, you know, get the stem cells out. I don't know, but it's likely that was the first one. So we're talking about a month from now, you know? So yeah, that would push this very close to November or into November.
And early November is the bye week too.
Yeah.
The bye week is over that, that very first weekend in November. So we're talking about
the Tampa
game in Tampa on grass, which makes total sense. And that would probably be what I would circle for Dre Greenlaw as well. So it would be a real sort of reboot to the season if you got your number two linebacker and your number one weapon coming back in the same game.
They miss Greenlaw, man. I was thinking that today. They really miss Greenlaw. Not that they needed him in this game, but there are plays that are not being made because he's not out there. And then when Fred Warner was out for the second half, then they really were slow at linebacker. They got Demetrius Flanagan fouls and Devondre Campbell out there, and those are not Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. So what happens when you have good players if you don't have them? Let's get back to the running. I can't believe – I've been saying this before that they haven't signed a running back by now. They've got this Sunday and then Thursday – in Seattle combo coming up here, but what if Mason gets hurt on Sunday? You're going to get a running back in and then get him up for a road game on, like, get the running back in now. These are some of these moves that I don't understand they're not anticipating an injury. You have to anticipate an injury. You have to be considering that you've already lost your top two running backs. Your Mason has been unbelievable as RB3, but you don't have RB4. That's not there. There is not RB4 on this roster unless you're counting Debo, and you really don't want to just go, okay, Debo, go get 18 carries now. This is mystifying to me if they don't sign a running back this week. Because, again, you don't have the time after this Sunday's game to just work somebody in, because you got a Thursday night game in Seattle. You basically have half a practice to get them ready to go. And I would do that now. We shall see what they do. We've been talking about the defensive vulnerabilities. We certainly saw it in the Rams game. We certainly saw it, you know, Sam Darnold and the Vikings are now the hottest team in football. Not a lot of danger when they're facing the Patriots, but do you think some of this has been tightened up? Did you see any changes? Obviously a new starting safety, rookie Malik Mustafa. What'd you think about that? What'd you think about him? What do you think about, are they making some changes here?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we saw a lot of rookies playing this game. Mustafa, the most prominent, and he had a bad whiff on the very first drive, but other than that, I thought he was solid. I mean, nothing stood out. Again, it's the Patriots passing attack. A good game to get your first start if you're a rookie. Renardo Green started coming in as the third cornerback instead of Isaac Yiadom. They essentially split snaps in that game. So they're obviously trying to work him in. At some point, you would think that he takes over that position from Yiadom. Tatum Bethune, he was the guy that came in. You know, the 49ers only had three middle linebackers in this game. Warner got hurt, then Demetrius Flanagan Fowles had to leave later, and it was Bethune who came in. I think Bethune is a better linebacker than Flanagan Fowles. He's still picking up the defense, but I thought his last preseason game, the third preseason game, was really impressive. That's what won him a roster spot over Jalen Graham. Just very instinctual. He probably can only play middle linebacker, but I think that he's an upgrade if for some reason Fred Warner can't play against the Cardinals. And Fred Warner's missed one start in his career. So I think he's probably going to be okay for this game, but something to think about. And then the other rookie that played a lot on defense was Evan Anderson. And I think, you know, the plan was to maybe give him, I don't know, less than 10 snaps today. Undrafted rookie, just got bumped up from the practice squad just for this game. But when Jordan Elliott went down, he ends up playing a lot more than that. And every time I looked at him, and he stood out because he was wearing the Guardian cap, he did not look overmatched. And he's like Jordan Elliott. He's a big, very strong, you know, kind of lower body guy who takes on double teams. And he was taking on two guys sometimes and still shoving that pocket backwards. So I thought it was a really good start for him. I mean, this is the first time in a long time the 49ers didn't use a draft pick on a defensive lineman. He was essentially their seventh round pick. They paid a lot of money to get him as an undrafted free agent. And I think the early returns on him are pretty good.
Man, a lot of youngsters out there. I mean, Jair Brown is their most veteran safety now, right? He's a second-year guy. He's basically looks like he's playing free safety. They're playing – well, Mustafa's playing – those are interchangeable. I realize that. But I would hope Jair Brown is your eraser, right? If there's a blown coverage somewhere, he's the back line because he's so fast, or at least faster than Mustafa, I think. You've got Renardo Green. You've got – I mean, this is a young Bethune. This is – suddenly a big changeover. And I noted that during the game. I'm just looking at it, go, I don't even starters from last year. There's who's the holdover starters from last year are essentially Bosa and counting injuries too, because we know Hargrave's out now. Bosa, Warner, and Ward are essentially, like, if you talk for the most of last season, who were the starters?
Yeah.
You know, they have three on defense. That's pretty amazing for a team like this that we consider so stable, so solid. They just roll out the same thing. They have three guys from last year.
Yeah, there was one sequence. It was the second defensive series of the second half where Bosa was getting a break like he normally does, and Warner was out of the game. So there were 10 guys on the field who were basically new this season. And some of them were new in this game. You really needed a roster handy to follow along. If you were, you know, traveling abroad and you just came in from the airport and hadn't watched a 49ers game all season and you flipped on the TV, you would have thought that you had been absent for 10 years. There are very, very few recognizable names.
Like a preseason game, right?
It looks like getting back to how bad the Patriots were, it had the feel of a preseason game during some of the stretches.
Hey, thank God for Charvarius Ward, man. I mean, if not for him, it would be 11 new faces out there. It's wild how this has changed over. Injuries have been a big part of it, and they're going to get Greenlaw back. That'll really feel like the 49ers defense again, I think. You know, when you have two linebackers running around like that, it is something to watch. We got to say Fred Warner really, really kickstarted this game. The 49ers get the ball twice, kick two field goals. It was kind of like, what's going on here? They can't get in the end zone. And then Warner makes a flying interception, lands on his back, pops up, and then just sprints in the end zone, basically runs over Jacoby Brissett, who was getting blocked at the time. Just an amazing play. I call it Superman play. Like, he's flying all over the place. Nice, you know, kind of symbol of what kind of seasons he's having. The ball is just being taken away by him. He is taking away the ball, punching it out or intercepting it, and then he goes pick six. I've said this before. I'll say it again. If Nick Sorensen's number one achievement is getting Fred Warner to play like this, he's worth having as a defensive coordinator, almost barred anything else, because when Fred is playing like this, the whole defense rises because he just connects them to so many different things.
No, I totally agree. I remember early in Fred Warner's career, he was great. He was an early starter as a rookie. You know, barely ever missed a snap, much less a game. Always made a lot of tackles. What was missing from his resume the first 3 or 4 years is that he didn't have a lot of those game changing plays. Didn't have a lot of sacks. Didn't have a lot of interceptions, forced fumbles. And I remember thinking, okay, in order to be a Bobby Wagner, who at that time was the kind of epitome of middle linebackers, you have to have those. And now he's out Bobby Wagner, even at peak Wagner. I mean, he's got what, five takeaways already through four games, really through three and a half games since he missed the second half of this one. He's on a great pace. I mean, he's on a defensive player of the year type of pace. I don't watch enough of the league to have a good idea who else is having this type of season, but he's got to be the early season front runner for that award.
Spectacular play in the first half, and they didn't have him. I've said Trent Williams might be the most important player. I've said Nick Bosa might be the most important player. Purdy might be the most important player. I think the most important player this year has been Fred Warner. I think he has been their best player and their most important player. They did play without him in the second half, but again, it's against the New England Patriots. If they don't have him, or if he's limited for this Arizona game, I know they got destroyed at home by Washington on today, but we know that they have weapons. We know that Kyler Murray is a problematic player for the 49ers defense and has been for years. They're going to really want to have Fred Warner in that game. We're going to do another show during the week. We want to do a fast 15. This is already a slow 15 because it's now 21 minutes. But Barros, before we do our next show sometime in the middle of the week, what are we looking for? What are the question on your mind that needs to be answered by Wednesday, let's say, from the 49ers?
Well, I mean, a pretty big news item I think is going to happen this week. That's Ricky Pearsall coming back. So working him into the offense, I think, is going to be interesting, something that they've been really reluctant to do with Jacob Cowing to this point.
Zero offensive snaps tonight.
Today. No, he got offensive snaps. Okay. But certainly no passes or anything in his direction. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on with Pearsall. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night's game, the Monday night game, Seattle at the Lions. Seattle's 3-0. I think the 49ers and their fans are going to be rooting for the Lions in this one. But just as an indication of, you know, whether the Seahawks are real, I think we learned today with the Vikings beating the Packers that Minnesota is real. They're 4-0. Can Seattle join them at 4-0? And if the answer is yes, really just kind of underscores that, what, week six game. Up in Seattle, Thursday night game. You just referenced
huge,
it.
Huge.
It's going to be a big one. So, looking forward to that.
Minnesota's got wins over the 49ers at Green Bay. In the NFC, that is just massive. You have those two things in your pocket already. And I'll just note, Ronnie Bell, inactive today. I would not play him very much anymore, especially with Pearsall coming back. And Isaac Arendo, I don't know what are they going to do with him. He's not ready. He is not ready for this. They've tried him. You know, it's not like he's gotten tons of reps, but every rep he's gotten, like set for one, has been a negative. And the fumble on the kickoff return was just absolutely disaster. I just don't know how. You know, I believe in playing young players, but if once they make mistakes, you got to get them out of there. And Kyle Shanahan is not famous for playing young players. And then when they screw up like that, it's going to be very hard for them to put him in there. Maybe he gets a run here or there because someone's got a run, but it's not going to be much. So I would think it's going to be very difficult for Isaac Arendo to hit the field very much.
You know, they've got spots on their 53-man roster. I think it's two. And so one is going to go to Pearsall. That leaves another one open. I mean, it feels like a running back is the thing to add.
I can't believe they haven't done already. Or maybe they've got one in place and they've just been waiting. Maybe it's Jerick McKinnon. We'll see. Maybe there's a trade. I wouldn't trade for a running back at this point. Unless they think McCaffrey might be out the whole season.
They don't think that right now. So yeah. They could eventually figure that out, but for right now they're expecting him to be back at some point.
Then just sign a running back. My God, this is unbelievable, and we shall see. All right, Barros, we'll do this again later in the week. This is our quick fast 15 that lasted 25 minutes. How about that, Barros? Really fast 15.
It was a slow 15.
It was sluggish 15. It was not a Brock Purdy 10-yard sprint. 15. All right. Thanks so much. We'll see you guys later.